Hey, stoners. Thanks so much for listening to I'm Too Effin' High. If you've listened to the podcast before, you know that one of our missions is to normalize cannabis and culture. But one of those things that we've really dealt with over the last 4 years that we've talked about has also been the racial and social injustices that are surrounded by cannabis. Cannabis prohibition was based in racism and in the 1930s and still to this day exists.
So we wanted to take a moment before this episode just to kind of talk about everything that's been going on the past few weeks. We've had a lot of our listeners, you know, join us in marching and protesting for it, also donating to the causes that amplify the idea that Black Lives Matter. And we want to continue to use this podcast as a place to call for more action. Obviously, you know, it's a comedy podcast. We enjoy normalizing cannabis use through the language of comedy, as James said. But it feels impossible not to address what is happening. And we want to urge our listeners to be active as well in this matter.
And cannabis is just one aspect of many different ways that Black people and people of color in this country are treated unfairly and locked up. And we recognize that, and we know that cannabis is just one small part that needs to change, but there's a lot of things that need to change. And that's why we strongly encourage you, if you can, to donate or to set up recurring donations.
And so in the show notes, we've included a link to Act Blue, which is a link that will help you donate instantly to several different organizations that all address these issues, including the Black Lives Matter Global Network, National Bailout, Know Your Rights Camp, Black Voters Matter Fund, BYP 100, the NAACP, National Police Accountability Project, Color of Change Education Fund, Unicorn Riot, Advancement Project, Higher Heights for America, and Fair Fight Action. If you donate at this link, it'll split your donation between all of these causes and organizations. So, you know, it really simplifies the process if you're looking for something like that.
Yeah, and every dollar counts. $1, $5, $10. Every dollar is progress towards the ultimate goal of, you know, finally getting us to a place where everybody's treated fairly by law enforcement. We appreciate you listening to I'm Too Effing High. We appreciate you supporting the normalization of cannabis. Just know that we, as a podcast, we support Black Lives Matter. Welcome back, stoners. Welcome back to another episode of I'm Too Effing High. I'm your high host, James Mastriani. Thank you so much for being here. If you're not familiar with this show, this is the show where we get comedians high on cannabis and have them do comedic challenges to prove that marijuana makes everything funnier. That's the point of the show. It's a podcast. It's a live show. It's a live stream now. We just had we drop a new podcast episode every single Tuesday. Check out the newest one with Mike Castle and Joey Greer. Just came out today. And we do a live cast or live stream every single Tuesday and Friday at 6. This Friday, we've got a super fun show. We will be performing on UCB's YouTube's live stream, I guess is what it would be called, weird times. And we've got a great show today that we're really excited about. On Tuesdays, we like to do producers episodes. We bring in special guests. We talk, do different things. Today, we're going to be doing a very special episode. We'll talk about it in a second. But first, let me introduce my right-hand man, DJ Blue Dream.
Smoke weed every day.
What's happening? What's up, our lovely audience? We got some cool people here. What's up, Kevy? Kevy's always here, and I fucking love it.
What's up, Kevy?
Thank you for being here. Yeah.
Good vibes.
Yeah, and we got another special guest that the audience can just see hanging out near the Aurora Borealis right now.
That's right. Yeah. One of the producers of the show and frequent contributor. Welcome back, Matt Newell.
Thanks.
Born for that music. for that. How's it going?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Good, good. I'm very high. I just realized. I quickly smoked. I was like, I gotta get high really fast. I think I overdid it. it like caught up. I'm like, yeah.
It's like good. It starts to like overlap itself. You're high. What do they call that in NASCAR? Like you drift. You're high drift.
I'm drafting.
Drafting. Drafting. Yeah.
Drafting. Yeah. The first high is making all the other highs stronger behind it. And it's like a human centipede of. that's how NASCAR Perfect. Works.
I love it. Well, welcome, Whoa. Man. Welcome, guys.
Thanks.
DJ Blue Dream, do you want to lead us into a quick smoke prayer?
That's right. Before our other very special guests get here, why don't we all do what we always do, the most sacred, beautiful ritual of the day, the one that makes your whole day from now go beautifully, the simultaneous smoke. Please, if you are watching, feel free to join along with us on the simultaneous smoke.
Jesus Christ.
Alarm. Okay. Love when a fanfare is followed up by some deep throat hacking.
Yeah. That one just got me very high. Now I am absolutely involved in a drafting of
human centipede.
Human centipedes.
We got someone, Gabby says, don't let Joel not smoke. I guess Joel may be planning not to smoke. And Alexa Russo says, I got my pipe going.
Hell yeah, Alexa.
Hell yeah. I'm not sure what the Joel mythology is, but we'll find out, I guess.
We're going to find out.
Well, have you guys been doing edibles today as well or just smoking?
I just been smoking.
I've been smoking, and I took a 5 milligram mint.
I took a 25 on Sunday. It was very fun.
Oh yeah!
When I
for your birthday.
For my birthday, yeah, for like 11 in the morning. It was a very fun day.
Dude, that's great. How long did it last you?
It's about 3:30 or so. Yeah. 34. Okay. Good.
Great.
Our special guests are here. If we
great.
Lead them on. Yeah.
Yeah. So part of our good vibes episode today is we have two guests here who bring very good vibes. They also just wrote and released a song and a music video that I think is full of good vibes as well. It's a great tune. It's a great video, and excited to have them here. Please welcome Will Hines and Joel Spence.
Smoke weed every day.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good. Pretty good. How you doing?
Good. 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 Welcome. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this is a real pleasure. This is. I was so excited to see your text. I'm just pleased.
Yeah, I'm pleased.
I was also pleased. I was very pleased. I was content. I was warmed. Yeah.
Oh.
It's good to see you guys.
Yeah. Nice to see you guys
in a minute.
Yeah.
So real fast, because I know you guys, I know Will, for you, for sure. I know you don't really have a relationship to cannabis, right? You don't really partake.
I'm a sober, straight edge asshole.
No,
that's great. Right, far right, anti-drug.
Far right. Yeah. Anti-drug.
Oh God.
Burning books. I'm into burning books. Jesus. No, yeah, I just I got sober like 7 years ago, so I went the full 9 yards. Before that, I would smoke sometimes. I was never great at it. I was never great. Yeah. For me, it was quitting drinking was the crucial thing, and I didn't have like a problem that I knew of with weed, but I just sort of I threw the whole thing out. It was easier for me to do that. But I've always liked pot. My friends who smoke a lot of pot are my favorite people, and of the vices, I think it's the best one. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, shit. Yeah. You heard it here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's a hot take. Send it, spread the news. My number one vice, even though I don't do it.
Yeah.
I guess it's that. not even really a vice, but like, you know what I mean? Like there's,
yeah,
like, totally. I remember in college, there was people who loved to drink too much and people who loved to smoke a lot. The people who smoked a lot, great people, never a problem.
Yeah.
It was like, I lived in Boston in 1994 and I remember there was like a legalize it festival or something like that. You know, and marijuana was not legalized at all in 1994.
Totally.
So this was like, ostensibly you were not supposed to smoke anything. It was just like, let's gather and peaceably demonstrate that we think weed should be legalized. But of course, everybody at that festival was completely stoned. And I was standing there, a couple of cops, and I heard them say to each other, and they were like, nobody's misbehaving. It's like the most docile and peaceful crowd. But if you went to like a music festival where beer would be legal, there's going to be some level of.
Absolutely.
Not that alcohol necessarily means bad behavior, but you're way more likely to have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Start wrestling each other.
Yeah, yes. Just people start punching each other in the face for fun.
Yeah.
So I respect it.
Yeah. It exacerbates like you know, some rough qualities sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So as an outsider, as a square, as a total nerd, to me it's always a good sign when somebody's smoking up or into it. It warms my heart, even though I
will smoke to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you ever ran for politics, Will, I think that would be a great campaign slogan for you to start your stump speeches.
Yeah.
You know, if you run for what the general concept of politics.
If you ever run away from politics.
Just politics, just, and I'm offering myself for whatever position.
Okay, all right.
I'm open. City council, mayor, whatever you want.
Well, I'm just the county registrar, so I don't know how I'm supposed to help you out.
And now, Joel, you smoke weed, though, right?
From time to time, yeah. And
from time
I've been
to
on
time.
A journey, definitely a big journey with it, because I would occasionally, like once in a blue moon, have it once I got to, or just a little bit before drinking age, but drinking was probably more the accepted thing.
Right.
But I'd run with Will on pretty much everything he said about it. There was a point, you know, I guess I just had hangups about the illegality of it, and that's
right.
That's the power of that label.
Yeah,
totally.
The drag.
And it wasn't until I got out here that, and was hanging with a more pro weed crowd, not just use but also just the advocacy of legalizing it, that I start to pay attention. And it doesn't take much once you start paying attention to be completely convinced that why is of its legality.
Yeah,
like it should be
totally the facts. The facts start to stack up, and you start to go like, "Oh, wait a second."
I mean,
like,
every fact, almost every anecdotal experience, like there's almost 0%.
It's almost the equivalent of like how good exercise is for you.
Yeah.
It's just sort of overwhelming.
Yeah, the data stacks up every single example.
Water, hell yeah.
You should
glass of water.
I guess it is one of the nicer things that's happened to the country in the past. And you're just thinking about how I'm down on the current political environment. But like one of the nicest things is way more tolerance for weed. Like that's just just a gentler attitude in general, like a live and let live sort of attitude lots of exceptions to this, but we're certainly going in the right direction. And that's really nice.
Will, we're pretty much part of the same generation. I never thought this would ever happen. I never even entertained the idea growing up that this was a possibility.
When Bill Clinton had to just sort of indirectly admit that he smoked pot once, it was like, can this guy run for president? Now I feel like somebody could fucking spliff up in a debate, and it would be like not the craziest thing to happen in any of the
debates. Yeah. Sorry, not to correct you, Will, but I think you meant run for politics.
I hope
it's crazy. Like we delivered now. It's like pizza. It's they take credit cards. It's insane how
normal
it is.
I lived in New York City. I moved to New York City in 1996, and I was 26 and very like shy about substances in general. I hadn't even reached peak drinking yet, which of course was totally legal. But like, I remember being struck at that time how weed in New York City at that time, although illegal and you could get in trouble for it, there was a huge delivery system infrastructure. Like, there was
bicycles, right?
Yes, a better support system for delivering weed than of pizza. Like, there was like a stronger.
Those bicycles that were going very slowly.
Yeah, New York. Like, that's my guy.
Tell the messenger bikes, they're going fast. You know, they're going, but then there's the other bikes that are kind of.
There's some guy that's kind of wavering back and forth in the lane, just like. But I remember being, but that was like, it seemed crazy. Like it was a criminal practice at that time. But people would just give you phone numbers and be like, page this number, text this number. They'll have it to you in half an hour or whatever.
I grew up in Texas, and I know there's at least a couple Texas friends that are actually watching this right now and who smoke. And the first time I got it delivered.
Woo, go Longhorns. Hook 'em horns.
Yeah. All right. Hook let's take a moment. Yeah, hook 'em. but the first time I got it delivered, I think before it was delivered, I told everybody that I just ordered pot in Texas. Gloating.
Oh, basically.
Because some of them have to travel a great distance to find, you know, to purchase it and legally, you know. And so I feel fortunate to live in a state that is has that infrastructure.
I'm committed, California. Yeah. I'm committed to not drinking alcohol, but I always imagined I'll like slip back into pot at some point when it feels right, edibles or something like that. I'd love to do CBD oil, which I know is not exactly the same thing. It's like adjacent, but I don't know.
Hey, but it's good. Yeah, it's good to try though. It's good to try.
Do you guys use CBD oil?
I use a tincture at night. I use a tincture under the tongue at night, and it. I definitely noticed that it. I feel like it gives me a little bit of a deeper sleep.
Yeah, I use it. I use that same thing too, and I've had like CBD sodas and stuff.
Has this show changed your guys' relationship to weed at all? It must somewhat, right? I mean, it must
be for sure.
Like that.
I think also just from when we for sure, just because there's a reason that feels like work.
Smoke a lot more.
it's not. But also when we did it, I mean, I feel weird. I never know whether to talk about live theater in the past tense or the present tense, but we've done the live show, like doing that over and over, I feel like made me completely, like just completely changed my experience of weed, because it became like a communal thing, you know, like you're smoking with 100 other people at once. It became like a very insular thing.
It's a very social drug. Like as opposed to cocaine, which seems to be sort of an isolator and a divider, like pot brings everybody together. Actually, alcohol does that too. That is a pro of alcohol in terms of substances. Like, there's tons of downsides of it, but it is a social activity. And so, but weed is a social activity with way less downside. It's friendly. It's friendly. People are very generous with weed.
Very friendly.
And they're very friendly. They're stingy with everything else, but people will like.
You know, I mean, J.R. Tolkien smoked it. You know what I mean? Like, and he wrote The Lord of the Rings. Like, those are such friendly stories, you know?
They're so warm. Yeah.
Well, also, I was just thinking that there's also this weird infrastructure of underground usage that people are, since it's been illegal for so long, people are used to finding the people that smoke weed and finding the places to do it and the safe places to do it, that it's already, for a lot of people who have been growing up through this, you know, this last century, there's already a communal relationship with the people that the smoke weed with them. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
I lost no, yeah, you, yeah, but I like the sentiment. I like I like the friendly vibe of it.
Yes, all the grades I got on my essays.
Speaking of friendly vibes, I saw your music video recently.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Man, it's so good. Thanks it's for so watching fun. It. Yeah, absolutely. The song is great.
Thank you.
And it's got the theme of this episode is good vibes. We in every episode we do, we have a good vibes minute, and so once a month we do a whole show of good vibes. And
oh, nice.
This is all it seems like such good vibes. Do you guys want to talk about the song a little bit beforehand, or do you want to watch the music video first?
Well, can I I'd like to set I want to set it up real quick and then we can show it.
I love it. Please just do.
Very briefly, so like Joel's super, here's how this happened. Joel and I met through UCB, both being performers at the UCB Theater, of course. And then we found out we had similar musical tastes, and we saw Bruce Springsteen together, and we would talk about music. Then we started doing a Beatles podcast.
We're both anti-drug.
We're both super anti-drug, very far right, like pro book burning.
Risky guess for us.
Yeah, we're the control group that you have on.
And I started learning how to play the guitar, but I'm not very good at it. I've been on this show before doing bad guitar solos, which is a show I do. But as I was learning to play guitar, you know, I started writing songs, even though I couldn't play them that well. I got an itch to write songs. And so I sort of, in a vulnerable moment, showed them to Joel and was kind of like, do you think I could record these? Or are these like the worst things ever? Am I insane? And this one you're going to see the video for was the first one I played for him. And I was like, maybe 10 seconds into it, he's like, this is great. Let's do it.
And it was, hell yeah. That's awesome.
Nice. And I would have been totally understandable if he was like, don't play this for anybody.
Like, yeah.
Don't do it. And I was so excited. And so we started recording songs, and we decided to form a band. So now we're a band and we're both writing songs, and it's really fun. And so this was the first, it was the first one I played for him. And it's also the first one that we finished actually making and doing a video for. So
yeah, it was prescient, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. It's called We Are Running From a Storm. And I just wrote it. I wrote it in 2017 as just like a story. But even though this episode that we're doing is
yeah.
song, it's, and the, this song's endorsement by Joel is a good vibe, and it's a product of a friendship, but the content of the song is a bad vibe, because it's like, okay. it's being scared. It's being scared of some nameless evil.
Yeah.
Cause I don't know, I'm into fantasy sci-fi. So I thought it'd be fun to write about a nameless evil.
Cool.
And then a pandemic happened, and I was like, hey, this song is accidentally topical.
God, it's so topical. It's super poignant. I 100% assume that you thought to write this during the pandemic. Yeah. That's really interesting.
2 years ago.
Crazy.
And we recorded it. We recorded the bones of it in February.
Yeah. We were pretty much done with all my stuff. And then I want to give a shout out to my good friend, Jason Murgo, who played the drums and mixed and mastered everything and made it sound
really pro and great.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And this video we shot during the pandemic in 20 minutes outside of Joel's apartment. Should we play this?
Oh, cool. Yeah, I love it. So, this is great. Let's check it out.
Find some horses true, driving through the night, branches slap our faces red, and that won't halt our flight, crawl into a shelter near to try to keep us safe and warm. But the sun is never coming back. We live in darkness now, and though we run with all our might, no one can figure how we'll ever have a home again. Instead of running from a storm, we are running from a storm. We are running from a storm. Check the rations thoroughly. We won't have time again to pause and choose our destiny, or wonder if and when we picked a plan to run away, and to that plan we must conform. So when your doubts arise again, extinguish them with force. Thinking is a luxury, and one we can endorse. We only have one purpose now, and that is running from a storm. We are running from a storm. When we're safe again, I swear I'll never make mistakes again. I'll care to take the time to always love you true, and turn my head to face the skies of blue. shine too bright. They'll sniff the budding happiness and steal us in the night. They'll find our flimsy hiding place. They'll be upon us in a swarm. Decide the future tense and keep your hearing wide. Inertia is a great expense, and one we can't abide. I fear the walls are closing in. We are running from a storm. We are running from a storm. We are running when we're safe again. I swear I'll never make mistakes again. I'll care to take the time to always love you true. I turn my head to face the skies of blue. I will look right in your eyes and feel instead of always analyze. I will love so plain and clear when our lives are free from fear. Treat our bodies like machines living deep inside our brains. Never stop because of fear or dark or sleep or sleet or rain. When they see us streaking by and wonder what we're running from, they'll get their answers soon enough. Something wicked this way comes, and the time for talking's done. When the fear arrives, then they will begin to run. It will become their lives. Will this darkness ever end? Hey, 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 hey! We are running from a storm. We are running from a storm. We are running from a storm.
Yeah. That was great.
Honestly, it's so fucking good, guys. It's so good.
Oh, thank you. It's pretty fun, right?
It was fun.
I watched
good vibes, even though it was bad. Oh, sorry, James, go ahead.
Yeah, totally. It's got a driving beat. So it's kind of it's an upbeat energy, yeah, even though the content is kind of spooky.
Yeah.
No, I was just gonna say when I saw it over social media, I was like, I checked it out and I watched it a couple times and I really enjoyed it. And then legitimately the next morning when I woke up, that song was fucking stuck in my head.
Thank you.
It's a great hook.
Wow. So catchy.
Oh, thank you guys.
Audience is freaking out. You're getting a lot of clap emojis. Oh,
thank you so much, everybody.
It's a lot of yes, Joel. Mickey Wu in all caps says, Joel, where's our shout out?
Was that's the first song? Will, you said that's the first song you wrote?
Yeah.
Wow. And when you write it, I don't know, I guess you're taking guitar lessons, so you know, like, do you write the is it called the beat? Or is it the melody?
Yeah.
First, or is it the words first?
Thank you for asking this, because I think more talented musicians always say, oh, it happens all kinds of ways. But I have a specific mechanical process that I use.
Great.
Which is that I pick the chords first that I like. That's from just learning, songs often use very similar chord progression. So I take one that I like, change it a little bit, play the chord over and over and over again, start humming a melody. Then I put some gibberish words in, and only then do I write the lyrics. And then I kind of go back. Then it's kind of like, okay, now I see what it is. And then I sort of redo it a little bit more organized.
Oh, but
it's music first and then words. So I picked those chords. They sounded creepy. And then I picked a melody that was kind of, jittery and jumpy and stuff like that. And
yeah.
But that was the writing of it. And then when I gave it to Joel, though, it was me playing a guitar. And it was very threadbare and thin because I wasn't very good on the guitar and it was just my voice. And it was Joel and this guy, Jason Murgo, our mixer and drummer, who like kind of gave it this like real heft, that really made it like a rocker.
Right.
I was like, I mean, it's a dream come true. Just when it was recorded, it was a dream come true. And honestly, anybody liking it at all, it's such a joy for me.
That's so,
James,
yeah,
you
good.
Saying that, you guys saying that, like it's so we're good. Already playing with house money, even just
it's legitimately, it's a handful it's of such a good like tune. It.
Oh, and it's so, like you said, accidentally topical, but it's so perfectly, like, it's just so on point with exactly, I feel like, the emotions of the moment.
Yeah. Well,
I've
been a huge fan of, Joel, you should say something. I'm talking too much. Joel plays all the instruments except for the drums. Like, I sing it, and, but Joel plays
that's so
everything.
Crazy.
And
that's
he even played the drums in the initial version, but we replaced the drums with some live drums from our mixer.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I've known Joel for years, you know, through the comedy community, and you know, Joel's a great friend and a hilarious comedian, and I had no idea that you I found out recently that you're like a really gifted musician. I had no idea yeah. that was
Joel's modest about it, but he's no joke. He's the real deal.
Part of your personality. Yeah, that's so great.
Well, it's sort of I've actually been my little story on this whole band is that I've been writing songs privately to myself for years. Really.
Yeah.
So in the next single we're going to release is one of mine that I basically got the gist of in 2000. The year 2000.
Yeah.
Really?
And it's just been sort of there unfinished. And I don't know, it might be some insecurity going on, like just it's so naked to just throw your stuff out there. And Will has essentially provided this sort of safe context for me to start releasing it.
Yeah.
And also with his advice on my stuff, which has been an encouragement, has been really helpful.
I mean, my main contribution to Joel's stuff is just telling him that it's good and he should do it. I mean, other little stuff too, but mostly that's been my role. Is like, this is good, let's do it.
But when I hear this one, I love this song immediately when he played it for me, and it reminded me of this REM song called "Underneath the Bunker."
Oh yeah, which I had never heard that song.
Yeah,
and somebody on social media pointed that, and it does have similarities.
It's yeah, and. But my experience of watching it is just loving it. But that synth patch, that synth sound, the solo. When I initially discovered that, it was just hunting through the sounds that I had on my synthesizer, and I had it really low in the mix. And so it was. I loved it. And then my buddy Jason just brought it all the way up. And I was like, oh my God, that's the worst synth patch I've ever heard in my life. I had no idea. And then it took him to kind of go and Will to go, no, this is pretty good. It's cheesy. So whenever I see that, and also acting like I'm playing it on the guitar in the video, which is
so fun.
Owning it twice more than.
It's such a, it's such a fun moment in the video. And also, and this is kind of corny.
Yeah.
I am a sucker for songs that have clapping in them.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what it is.
I know exactly what you mean. There's something very childlike and vulnerable about it, but it also does work musically so well. Like a lot of early Beatles songs. I mean, Joel and I are huge Beatles fans. The whole Western Hemisphere are huge Beatles fans. But I mean, like early Beatles songs have lots of hand claps. And there is something sort of cheesy and great about them. And I'm a big fan of it. I think Joel put those in. I think Joel, you did that.
Yes. Yes. It sort of felt like it needed.
Your hands? Yeah.
Those are my hands.
Nice. Yeah, that's right.
Nice.
Those are my hands and maybe Jason's. I don't know. But I really, I hated the sound of my hands, and then Jason brought them up and I'm like, all right.
What's funny, it's funny working with Joel because Joel's a multi-instrumentalist. He can play several instruments and he's also a producer. He knows how to record. And so he arranged these songs. He thought about like what instruments to use and stuff like that. And I'm less fussy about it. I'm like, what's the melody? What's the words? What's the beat? Beyond that, I don't have a ton of opinions.
Yeah.
Usually. But Joel will be like, he was just talking about the synth patch. He's like, my God, that synth patch is so too much or something. And I was like, what synth patch? What are you talking about? I was like, oh, the solo? Solo's great. I don't know. It sounds strange to me. I don't have enough talent or vocabulary sometimes to know if something's wrong. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
in terms of arrangements and stuff like that.
I think that's why we're a good pair.
I do have opinions on like lyrics and sort of, I don't know, song structure and like, you know, how many verses, how many choruses and stuff like that. And tempo and
build. It feels like a cool dynamic too, because it kind of feels like, you know, Will, you're kind of getting more into music, and Joel, you're a veteran of it. So like,
I'm trying to get out of it.
trying to get out of it.
I'm trying to leave. I've been trying to leave the music business ever since. Yeah.
But I think you guys can speak to this. I'm sure this is true on your show. Like any collaboration, an important component of it is sort of supporting each other and saying yes. But you don't say yes to everything. You do have to like be knowing when it's time to be the editor, when it's time to hit the brakes or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's like, actually, it's funny when I first started at UCB a million years ago in New York City, the first show I ever did was directed by Owen Burke. I don't know if you guys know him, but he's...
I know Owen. He was one of my teachers at one point.
Yeah. You know, original UCB performer and a really nice teacher and coach. And he was directing the show that I was in. And he kind of said it. He was like, all right, the show's going up in a month. For the next 2 weeks, we're going to say yes to every idea. Any idea anybody's got, we're just going to say yes to it for 2 weeks. And then after 2 weeks, we're going to start saying no to every idea. Mm. So we're going to say yes to get as many in here as we can. And then we'll start winnowing down. And I always thought, oh, that's like a smart creative process. Like
get
the momentum
smart.
Going. Say yes.
I love that.
And then once it's all laid out, you can start to be like, oh, we don't need
this.
We don't need this. And I think that's something good about.
We should do that.
Sort of collaboration.
We should do that because these guys have said no to me for months on my idea of like an all cocaine episode.
It'll be so expensive. It'll be so expensive.
Okay. Also, Matt has his eye on the budget, you know.
That's all I care about. It's
so hard to find guests.
Hey, stoners, for more information about past shows that we've done, future shows we're going to do, check out I'mTooEffingHigh.com.
What would you guys do if you guys were going to like start? So like, you know, I wrote this song 2 years ago. It was the first song I ever wrote, right? So like, what would be, if you guys were going to start a new artistic venture, in what do you think you would do?
Oh,
like something, you know, sculpture, I don't know, like playwriting, like if you were going to be like, I'll do this. I've never done this before. I've always wanted to do this.
Have you had a little inkling? An inkling?
Would cooking count?
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Yes.
I think maybe cooking for me.
I bet you'd be a good cook, James.
I enjoy it. I'm not in any way, you know, like great or anything, but I'm still learning and I really like it.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing to make right now, James?
I feel like I make a really good salmon.
Nice.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a special way of making it so that I cook it skin first and sear it and then serve it skin up so that it feels like you're eating crispy, like a really nice and salty, crispy cut of salmon.
Oh. Ooh, this is the red zone for everybody who's high right now, talking about intricate food.
Get me hungry,
it's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Upside down salmon skin. Damn.
Yeah. Upside down salmon skin.
When someone serves you salmon three ways, and one of the ways is just upside down.
DJ Blue Dream is not going to be a waiter.
It's under the plate. It's under the plate, upside down, and in my hand.
Yeah. DJ Blue Dream will not be a waiter at my restaurant. He's going to describe my dishes that way.
got some burnt cornbread. Some upside down salmon.
It's toasted, DJ Blue Dream. It's toasted.
What would you do, Matt? Matt, what art form would you do?
Oh, if it weren't whatever I do now, it would be I don't know. That's a good question. I like to cook, but I don't know if I would. I think woodworking would be fun. I don't know anything about it though. Yeah. Like woodworking, like making things.
You've got a good look for a carpenter.
Yeah, I got the Jesus. Yeah. but yeah, I think that would be I just because I don't know anything about it. I would have to be. I would be starting from scratch.
Novice.
I know it's made of wood. I know that much. But that's about it.
Hey man, it's more than I knew.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
Well, it was really. How about you, Drew?
I've been trying to do a couple. Like the new thing I've not new, a fairly newish thing I've started doing, kind of basically post pandemic, more so, is learning the tabla, which are the like Indian hand drums. Mm-hmm. I never really had any musical talent growing up, and I was like, well, I really love like that's beats cool. and stuff. I love that side of things, so I've just started learning that. That's been fun. But I feel like if it was something new that I'm not doing at all, I think maybe like I swear I'm not kidding. It sounds like a joke answer, but honestly, like being like an erotica author, I think would be really in my wheelhouse.
It sounds like a complete joke answer.
It's not a joke answer. Like steampunk erotica.
Steampunk
erotica. That's amazing.
You should do it.
I laid her on that penny farthing and.
I am this is not a joke. I am writing an erotic novel.
Yes, Will.
And
maybe
I'm doing
on our next episode,
great.
You can read it.
I'm doing it because a friend of mine from UCB New York, like before the pandemic, like in January or something, I was like, man, I don't know. I'm bored. Like, I don't know what to work on next. You know what I mean? I'm not getting as much work as I want as an actor. And I'm getting antsy and I need something to do. And he was like, write a romance novel. I was like, huh? He's like, write a sex novel. I was like, I don't want to do that. He's like, I don't know. You wanted something to do. And I was like, well, not that. But then he got it stuck in his head. And every time I talked to him, he's like, you're going to write that romance novel? And he started sending me money on Venmo to pay me in advance for writing it.
You are a prostitute. This guy is hiring you.
So I wrote a half a chapter yesterday.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, I think it might
that's
be
that's how all romance novels are written, you know. There's someone just dare? Forced yeah. to do it. Yeah.
You gotta come
in
back
like 2 years. Yeah, in like 2 years, Will, are you gonna come back on this show?
Just
and
read a
we're
chapter.
Gonna read excerpts from yeah.
I don't know.
I wanna hear
and
it.
And afterwards we'll just be like, God, dude, that was so hot.
Woof.
So fucking hot, man.
I'm too effing horny.
Yeah.
Hey, do you guys I don't know.
boy, you're about to launch into another chapter here. What? Will, the stage is yours. What should we do?
I was going to, I wanted to play the original demo that I gave you to show these guys how much work you put into it so you can see the journey that this song took.
This is the demo?
Yeah, this is the demo that I like did in my living room by myself.
What if it's just crazy noise, like nothing close? To
not even close.
It's just rah, rah.
Yeah,
it's just the shrieks of an animal.
We will find some horses, true. Driving through the night, branches slap our faces red, and that won't halt our flight. Crawling to a shelter near to try to keep us safe and warm. But the sun is never coming back. We live in darkness now, and though we run with all our might, no one can figure how we'll ever have a home again. Instead of running from a storm, we are running from a storm. You can just, you know, it's the song is there, but it's really thin and it's lost a lot of its impact. And so you can imagine like how, when I heard the finished product, I was like, God damn.
The finished product.
I don't know.
It's so much richer. Yeah.
Finished product
so much fuller.
Fuller. Yeah. But still, I think honoring what was there, I think, but like it's pretty, I don't know, pretty amazing.
Pretty cool.
I recommend that everybody, you can take it back, Drew. I recommend everyone to find talented people to help finish your shit.
That's a good, that's good advice. This has been such a good vibes, guys. Such a good vibes episode. Joel and Will, when can we maybe expect your next song or music video?
I would imagine. Let's just say soon. And I think what we're looking for is the album to come out next month.
June. Awesome.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Well, I guess more importantly is where can people find out information about, you know,
We got a Facebook page. Our band name is Wayne and Rodney, which is confusing because that's neither of our names. But the band is Wayne and Rodney.
Neither of your names?
All right, let's go over our names again.
Okay. All right, we'll start with you, Rodney.
But we have a Facebook page, Wayne and Rodney, and an Instagram account, Wayne and Rodney. And that's a good place to find out.
And it's ampersand, right?
Yeah. Wayne ampersand Rodney. And yeah, that's where we'll announce stuff there. We're on Spotify and Apple Music and stuff. So
awesome.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Cool.
Our album's going to be called Turn It Up.
Turn It Up. I love it. Well, thanks again for coming on the show, you guys.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us. It's such a generous offer, James.
Yeah.
You're not the worst guy in my book. You're
No. You're a significant Huxley novel.
Yeah. You're Sunset Sherbet to me. If you ever run for politics, I will vote for you.
The Harold Turnbeat muscle kicking in the high gear for Will
Hines. I promise it will be on an anti-drug alt-right
book. Yeah. Oh, nice, dude. Nice.
Yeah.
Connections galore. That's Will Hines' James Bond name right there is Connections Galore.
The most boring James Bond. He doesn't sleep with anybody, but he finishes an elegant Harold.
This has been a blast, you guys. And thanks to the audience for tuning in. And make sure you guys check out Joel and Will's band. And what you said it was
Wayne
called,
and Rodney. Sorry, Wayne and Rodney.
Wayne and Rodney.
Just think of our names, man. Just think of our names.
Just think of your name. Yeah. And I'm toeffinghigh.com for any other information about future shows. Thanks so much, guys. Stay to effing high.
My name is Will Hines, and I am a ghostwriter, meaning I write other people's books for them. And I have a podcast called I Will Write Your Book, which are recordings of my meetings with my eccentric clients, such as a woman blocked after one sentence of a children's book about her dogs, a romance novelist who dislikes sex, and a man proud of having sampled everything in his local grocery store. This podcast has been described as fully improvised, played by some of the best comedians on the planet Earth. Hey, that's pretty good. That's I Will Write Your Book on Campfire Media.
Campfire.